And so we want to look at this question today. Is any one of you in trouble? Can you imagine a life without trouble? Can you imagine a life where everything always goes smooth? And I think we would become pretty bored if there would never be any trouble. Or would we enjoy it that we would never have trouble? Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, you know what? I think I'm in big trouble." Yeah, I've been in trouble a lot of times. I may be in trouble today. I don't know. But Mark Twain once said, "My mother had a great deal of trouble with me, but I think she enjoyed it." I think most of us parents, we know we have our troubles with our children, but I don't think we always enjoy those troubles. I think a lot of times we say it is troublesome to raise a child. You know that the human being is the most helpless creature that when it's born. I mean, if you leave a baby totally unattended, it will die. Many other animals don't. They don't need. I asked around. I said, "Well, when a deer gives birth, the little one gets up within 1 hour. It gets up, and then they have to leave because those birds birds that are flying in the sky, they see newborn animals and they go after them. So they have to get to shelter right away after they're born. But a human being is the most troubled, the most helpless. President Theodore Roosevelt once said, "If you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't sit for a whole month." That means the truth is that we are sometimes, and many times, our own enemies. We cause a lot of troubles ourselves. And so many times we feel like we deserve a spanking. We should get some sort of punishment because we got ourselves into a trouble. We fell for something, or we thought it was like this and it wasn't like that. And so we incur trouble in life. We also incur trouble when we follow Christ. And that is the hard part. And that is maybe why a lot of people say, "Well, I have enough of my troubles. I don't want to deal with religion. I don't want to deal with all the troubles of the church and all being a Christian and all these things that Christians go through." You know, they talk about bearing the cross and going through all these trials and all this crying and praying and this agonizing and all of that. "I don't want that. I have enough troubles of my own. I don't need that." But yet, if you have trouble without Christ, it's going to be a lot harder to deal with it than if you walk with Him. And that is why we love the Lord. That is why we love the Word of God. Jesus says this in John chapter 16, verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble," he told the disciples. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." In other words, I have conquered, Jesus says. I am stronger than all of your troubles. This is what he says to his disciples. This is what we need to remember and remind ourselves every day. God, Jesus, is stronger than our trouble. In this world, we will have trouble. What kind of trouble is Jesus referring to here? The trouble that comes in being a disciple of Jesus Christ, of being a follower of Christ. That will cause trouble because we will get the attention of our enemy. Because Satan is mad that we ran away from him. And he wants us back. And he wants to destroy our life. He wants to make our lives miserable because he lives in this world. He is in the air of this world, the Bible says. So it's trouble following Christ. It's also because we live in an evil world. Evil exists. We can't explain evil away. We can't say, well, you know, this world is a really good world and there's no evil there. I mean, that would be sticking our heads in the sand. Because we know evil is there. We know evil is lurking all over the place. We know that it's scary to follow Jesus. If we really are serious following Jesus, the devil is a troublemaker. Jesus is the peacemaker, but the devil is going to make trouble for us. He's going to see to it that we have a hard time. He's going to see to it that we are challenged. And that comes automatically. Everybody will be challenged who tries to follow Christ. The devil wants to cause you trouble in order to make you fall away from Christ. He wants to undermine your faith. He wants to undermine your trust in God. He wants to take away the assurance of salvation. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to do all kinds of things against your faith. But that's the devil. Don't listen to him, because he is a troublemaker. The devil is the old bully that doesn't give up. But we know what he deserves, and we know what God is going to give him in the end. And we need to remember that. Matthew chapter 13 verse 21 says, "But since he who has heard the word and it didn't take root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." So Jesus is indicating here that trouble can come because of the word of God. Because you and I are clinging to God's promises, we believe God's word is true, we have accepted the truth of God's word and go forward, and then trouble comes. And one of the trouble is that we will have persecution in one way or another. And there will be challenges. We have a cross to bear because of the word. Because Satan is against the word. And this is important, that we are rooted and grounded in the truth of the word of God, in the grace of Jesus Christ, so that we have a solid foundation, so that we can stand against the storms of adversaries, and that we can truly stand firm in the sense that we stay the course with Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 verse 1, Jesus tells his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And what is the cure for this, having a troubled heart? He gives us the cure for it. Trust in God and trust also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't get all worked up about things. Isn't that what he's saying? Don't let the worries and concerns of this world overwhelm you. But keep trusting in God and keep trusting in Christ. We may be troubled in this world by all kinds of things, and I am too. But we cannot bear all the things of the world. We cannot bear this earth on our shoulders. We cannot bear all the worries of others on our hearts, but we can bring them to the Lord and trust the Lord in all things. Our text, James, the Apostle James, gives us the solution to troubles and also other things that we encounter in life. And he includes sickness as well, because sickness is always a time of trouble. Let's remember that. If we want to handle these things right, let's pay attention to God's word. First of all, he said, if you are in trouble, if you feel troubled, if your heart is being troubled, we need to do something. We can't just be troubled. We can't just go around and say, I feel miserable. I feel miserable. I'm terrible. It's terrible. I'm in a terrible mess. We can't just do that. He says, if we are in trouble, pray. Simple. Is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. Because trouble drives us to our knees. And a lot of times, God allows trouble to come into our lives so that we go onto our knees. The best place you and I can be is on our knees. And when we're on our knees, then we can bring all the troubles to God. I remember Abraham Lincoln, reading about him. We know that he was the president of the United States, I believe the 16th president. And he once said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." Now, when we think of Abraham Lincoln, his share of trouble that he had, he was president when there was civil war going on in the United States. And that was horrible. I mean, imagine that nearly a million men died in that war. At that time, the United States didn't have over 300 million people. They had a lot fewer than that. So it was terrible. So he says, "I had nowhere else to go. I had this overwhelming conviction that if I go on my knees, that's the safest and the surest place to go." So some people, they rant and rave and they even cuss and they carry on and they go on and on and on. And they should stop. The Bible says here, if you are in trouble, and you feel all worked up and all confused and all troubled inside, pray. That's the command. Well, you will say, "Well, I don't feel like praying. What if I don't feel like praying?" Do it anyway. Because James says we should pray, whether we feel like it or not. We should still do it. A little boy prayed this, and I like this, this sentence. "Dear God, please take care of my daddy and my mommy and my sister and my brother and my doggy and me. Oh, please take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess." Now that's a prayer of a little boy. If anything happens to God, that would be troublesome. Then we would talk about real trouble. So that's why he prayed, "Lord, take good care of yourself." Someone else says, "Don't pray when it rains if you don't pray when the sun shines." Isn't that the truth? Will Rogers supposedly said, "The trouble with our praying is we just do it as a means of last resort." And I think a lot of times we have the troubles that we encounter is maybe if we would have been consistent in praying in the good times and take the time in God's word and take the time to really fellowship with God, that we wouldn't be in such a trouble. Or maybe our hearts wouldn't be so troubled if we would have spent more time in the presence of God. I know that from my own Christian walk. So trouble and prayer can transform our hearts. God allows prayer, God allows trouble because we live in this world and God wants us to trust Him. E.M. Bounds wrote this, "Trouble and prayer are closely related to each other. Prayer is of great value to trouble. Trouble often drives men to God in prayer, while prayer is but the voice of men in trouble. There is great value in prayer in the time of trouble. Prayer often delivers out of trouble and still oftener gives strength to bear trouble, ministers comfort in trouble, and begets patience in the midst of trouble. Wise is he in the day of trouble who knows his true source of strength and who fails not to pray." Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything." Did you hear that? Paul says, "In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard or govern your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love to read about George Mueller. George Mueller was a director of an orphanage in Bristol, England, and he cared for as many as over 10,000 orphans during the course of his life. And he said this, "I spend hours in prayer every day, but I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk and when I lie down. I pray when I wake up. The answers are always coming. Thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When I am persuaded that a thing is right, I go on praying until the answer comes. I never give up. I have been praying every day for 52 years for two men, sons of a friend of my youth. They are not converted yet, but they will be. How can it be otherwise when we have the unchanging promises of God?" And you know what happened? When he prayed for his friends, when he died, and he died at a very high age, over 90 years old, and he was buried, as one of his friends came that he had prayed for all that time, he came and he threw himself over that grave and he repented and he came to the Lord as an answer to George Mueller's prayer. So prayer does work. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." So let's just picture this. You and your friend are going to a high mountain. And you're climbing and climbing. Very slowly you're getting up there, you're getting up there. This happened to two fellows. And one of them said, "Well, what brings you way up here? This is a tough climb," he says. And this other guy, he said, "Well, it's like this. All my troubles and heartaches are down in the little valley. And when I'm down there, they seem very big. But up here, all of those troubles seem very small." And that is what prayer does for us when we go on a spiritual high. And we go on to that mountain of the Lord and we enjoy the presence of the Lord. Our troubles seem to be less and less and smaller and smaller. Isn't that beautiful? So I want to encourage you. Go into the closet of prayer, your prayer closet, or wherever you pray, and experience the presence of God. When you're in trouble, pray. That's God's word. The second part is, are you happy? If you are happy, if you are joyful, then sing. So we are commanded to be joyful at all times. So actually, even if we are in trouble, we should be singing. Well, that doesn't rhyme very well, right? So there was a man that met another man on the street and he said, "Good morning." And the man replied, "I have never had a bad morning. I have never been unfortunate and I am never unhappy." Now that's very rare to find a person like that. You would probably think that person is not honest. I would probably think that. And then he said, "Well, I wish you would explain that to me," said the other guy. And he said, "I have never had a bad morning, for every morning I praise God. If it rains or snows, whether the weather is right or stormy, I am still thankful to God. I can never be unfortunate because nothing happens unless it's according to the will of God. And His will is always good in whatever He does and permits to be done. I can never be unhappy while resigned to do the will of God, and as long as His peace rules in my heart." And that's so true. As long as we are committed to the will of God, as long as His peace rules in our heart, we have no reason to really be unhappy. Are we sad sometimes? Yes, we go through sad times. But in reality, we don't have to be in an unhappy state. Psalm 5 verse 11 says, "But let all those who take refuge in you, in God, be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them that those who love your name may rejoice in you." Psalm 16 verse 8 and 9. "I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand." That is a great acknowledgement. That is a great way of going into the day. The Lord is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. If you do this in the morning, I will not be shaken because the Lord has said he will not leave me nor forsake me. "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure." In other words, this has an effect on my body. I will also, my nerves, everything will be calm because I know the Lord is present. I know everything will be okay. So if you rejoice, then sing. Sing hymns and spiritual songs, the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do we still have to work on this? I think we do. Singing and praising God. Colossians 3 verse 16 and 17. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do," listen, "whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Those are powerful words. And if we have this kind of attitude, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always," or "rejoice in the Lord always. Pray continually without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." So we are to live a life that praises and exalts God. You mean, maybe you ask, you mean to tell me that even if I'm in trouble, I'm supposed to sing, I'm supposed to praise? Oh, yes. Because guess what singing and praising does? It will lift you above the troubles. It will strengthen your faith and trust in God, that you know God is above all my troubles. And there's nothing impossible for God. And there's nothing that escapes his attention. Not even the least situation. Now, the third one here is, what if we're sick? What happens then? Now, is any of you sick? Call 911, yeah? Is that here? If one of you is sick, start complaining. And start griping. And take it out on your family or on your dog or something. No, it says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. If anyone is sick, call. Make a phone call. The sick person makes the phone call. Not the one who's healthy. Not the elders of the church making the phone call. Not the pastor waiting to hear from someone that he has missed in church and doesn't know whether they're sick. No, the sick person is to call to the elders of the church. Are we doing that? You say, well, I don't want to bother the pastor. That's why we're here. That's why we're God's servants, to pray for you. A wife said to her husband, who was sick in bed, she said, "I have received a sympathy card from your secretary to me, to the wife." In other words, the secretary felt sorry for the wife that she had to put up with her husband at home. That means he didn't call for the elders. He complained. When you get sick, what do? Most of the time, we don't want to see anyone. We want to be alone, especially if we're not sick to death or if we don't have a hopeless situation. This may be a temporary illness. We'd like to rest, and we'd like to maybe just have a family member help us. But here the Bible says, it talks about more of a serious illness. Whether the elders are called or not, you know, some church members always expect someone to be there, and generally they expect the pastor to be there. And I've found out that some church members like it where if you are a man of God, if you are close to God, then God will have communicated that to you that I am sick. God will have communicated that to you that I have needs. And why should I call you? Because you are so close to God. God will have told you that. And if you don't come and visit me, you are disobedient to God. No, it doesn't work that way. We pastors are human too. And God doesn't tell us anything about you. You need to tell us that. We can't do that for you. So how do we pray for someone who's sick? How do we as elders of the church go about praying? First of all, it's very important that we know when someone is sick that the church cares. And it should never be said, my church doesn't care whether I'm sick or not. We should really test it first if that's true. Because I believe generally Christians do care how others are doing. Because that's the Christian life. We do care for one another. And it's very comforting to know that someone cares and someone is praying for us and interceding for us to others. Because when a person is really sick, it's very hard to pray and focus on prayer. But that's when the elders, that's when the church gets involved and we pray for a sick person. So how are we to pray? Hebrews 4 has some answers. He says this, verse 15 and 16, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need or time of trouble." So we thank God for his sympathy as we pray for the sick, knowing that God is a compassionate God and he will have sympathy with those who suffer. And he does. He always has sympathy. And then when we pray and intercede for the sick person, we ask God to have mercy on that sick person, whether it's our loved one in the family or loved one in the church. And that's very important. Here it says that the one who is obviously seriously ill should call for the elders. And the elders are supposed to come and pray over that person. And it was a very common practice that the elders came to lay on hands. But then the anointing of oil is mentioned here in this text. The anointing of oil is simply giving and committing that sick person to the Lord. And what we have in our prayer request list today is a lot of people with cancer. And I have started to pray that God would defeat cancer in their lives. Unfortunately, I know of at least one that has brought in part that trouble on himself, and that is through smoking for many, many years. because lung cancer is a result of smoking. And it is sad to see that, but here, listen to this. Even in that case, in verse 15, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up if he has sinned. That means if the sickness has come because of a bad habit, because of drinking or smoking or other things that damage their health, that sin will be forgiven. In other words, that God has an answer. He has a healing for the entire person. God wants to forgive that sin, and he wants to heal that body that has been ruined by these bad habits. And then it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. And you would say, well, I can't do that. Well, you can find at least one person that you can confide in and say, look, pray with me. I have sinned. I have done wrong. And then you confess your sins to the Lord. And the pastor or the elders of the church lead you through the prayer, and you will feel better. That is the guarantee given to us here. See, our text does not mean that we need to broadcast to the world everything that we did wrong or our actions or our failure to act and the like. But it just says that we need to have faith that God will forgive sin and he will heal sickness. And I believe that with all my heart. Even though we don't see the healing every time. And we don't see the healing every time we anoint people with oil. And this has been really a time of trial and testing for me at times, where I ask myself, well, why should I anoint this sick person? Because the last two or three times the Lord didn't do anything miraculous. But that doesn't diminish God's word. God's promises are there, and I stand on it. And I just say, no, I will, nevertheless, I will do that. If it is requested, if someone asks to be anointed, I will do it, because God's word says that we ought to do that. I want to conclude with this comment by a man named Charles Morton. He was an editor of a magazine, and he once told of a Harvard freshman student that came to Dean Briggs, to his office, and he explained why he was late and why he missed class, and he handed in an assignment. He said, I'm sorry, sir, but I was not feeling very well. That was his excuse. And Mr. Briggs said, young man, please bear in mind that by far the greater part of the world's work is carried on by people who are not feeling very well. And I think this is something we need to take to heart. Whether we are sick or not feeling very well, sometimes we have to overcome the not so well feeling and say, I will still praise the Lord. I will still do my duties. I will still serve him and do my work joyfully. May God bless these thoughts, and may he strengthen our faith. Are you in trouble? Pray. Are you happy? Sing. Are you sick? Call. Call for prayer. Call for the elders to come and anoint you. We'll gladly do that if you have an illness. But always bear in mind, if there's any sin in your life, that's what Jesus focuses on first. If you pray for wellness of your body, remember Jesus wants your soul first. And then he wants to heal you. May God bless his word. Amen.